Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live your life for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanos.
Well, welcome to this Christmas edition of Fellowship Talks. We are glad that you're listening today. We are your hosts, Dan Schaefer.
And I'm Amy Scrivanos. Dan, Christmas is right around the corner. I can hear the bells. Are you ready?
Yes, I have all my Christmas shopping done, if that's what you're implying, Amy.
Yeah. You know, I've worked in anthropology the last few years, and Christmas Eve is always the day for all the husbands to come shop for their wives.
I can only imagine. Guys, if you're listening to this podcast the day it's been released, we just want to let you know you have 5 days until Christmas. So it's on. Go get your Christmas gifts. Make your ladies feel special. And if you're listening to this after Christmas, well, I hope you did a good job. There's no more time for you.
So, Dan, this is a really fun episode. We have Ben Parkinson with us, and we're going to be reading some Christmas stories and sharing some fun Christmas traditions that our families have.
Yeah, Amy, this is an episode that you will want your whole family to listen to because it's going to be a lot of fun today.
Yeah, we hope you'll gather your family together and listen to this by the fire.
Cue the fireplace. Just listen to the crackle of that wood.
Wow, that's cool. Grab your hot chocolate, blanket, and listen together as a family.
You may be listening to this as you drive to a family get-together somewhere in the country, so turn up the volume so everyone in the car can hear.
Okay, I think we're all set. Dave, turn on the Christmas music.
Perfect. Thanks, Dave. Ben Parkinson, how are you today? It's good to have you here on this Christmas edition of Fellowship Talks.
Thanks, Dan. It's good to be here. You too, Amy.
Thanks.
So we're going to read some stories today. And Ben, the first story we're going to read is The Night Before Christmas by Clement C. Moore. And just so everyone knows, we have permissions from the publisher to read this story, and all credits can be found in the show notes. Ben, put on your best reading voice. Would you read this story for us?
Absolutely, one of my favorites. 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief, and I in my cap, had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer. With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donder and Blitzen. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricanes fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up the housetop the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys and St. Nicholas, too. And then in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry, his cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke, it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk. And laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to the team gave a whistle, And away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
Wow. That was so good. That brings so many memories from when I was growing up as a kid in my family.
Mm-hmm, me too. Yeah. It's funny. I don't know why this is the memory that came to mind, but I remember going to my grandmother's house, and whenever we would get there, she would go to the back bedroom and she'd get on the telephone and call us from, and we'd be on another telephone and she would act like she was Santa Claus. And it was always so funny because I knew it was her, but I would play along with it. And anyway, funny family traditions.
And she didn't sing "Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer," did she?
No, she did not.
Oh. Ben, what kind of memories do you have growing up in the Parkinson family?
Yeah, well, yeah, we have quite a few Christmas memories. We used to go to Dallas every year where my grandparents lived, and really all of my extended family were from. And my grandmother had this great split-level house. And so one of the things that we knew is that on Christmas Eve, they set up our stockings between these two chairs on a broom and kind of hung them from this broom right in front of the fireplace. And one of the things we had to do as kids was we made out our Christmas list. You know, we'd been making it out for weeks, maybe months even. But on that night, we added whatever little final things we needed to do to it. And then the theory was, what my parents convinced us of, was that if we tossed it in the fireplace on Christmas Eve and it burned up, that the smoke would rise up through the chimney and float to the North Pole. Oh, and goodness. Like skywriting in the sky, like a plane, that's how Santa knew what you wanted. He would read the smoke from all the chimneys in the sky and then bring you what you wanted the next day. It was pretty risky on their part, because if we added something they didn't have, that was pretty dangerous. But it tended to work out for us.
Santa's reading smoke signals.
Yes, no doubt about it. All I know. Right. I think about some other things. So I mentioned the split-level house. So there was a wall that kind of separated the stairs and the living area, the bedrooms, from this big den where the Christmas tree and the stockings and the fireplace and everything was. And in the morning, we had to wait behind that wall. We could not peek around it. We couldn't look at it. I think we thought that all the presents would disappear if we did somehow, like something bad would happen. And so we would wait behind that wall. We would go up and wake up our parents and try and get them going at 5, 6 in the morning, whatever it was. And I'll never forget, they always would shower, get dressed, eat breakfast.
That didn't look good for pictures.
Oh my gosh, we had river eggs and bacon and biscuits, and we are dying. The kids are dying to go open these presents, but you could not go around the wall or something horrible might happen. So those are a couple memories. I remember another one, my mom growing up, because apparently in olden times, you know, the treat for your stocking was walnuts and oranges.
Oh yeah, we still get that.
You still get that? Uh-huh. Yeah, we get that too, in the bottom of our stocking.
Yes.
Now she puts other things on top.
That's right.
To make it a little more kid-friendly. But it used to be that oranges and walnuts were a huge deal. That was a big treat. And so that was a tradition in her family. So she would always put those at the bottom of our stocking. I'll never forget, one year we came around the corner and we're kind of tearing into our stockings and looking at everything. And sure enough, she also goes, "Oh no, wait, nobody move, nobody move." And she runs into the kitchen and comes back out and is flinging walnuts and throwing oranges at us, hitting us in the head, in the stomach, with all to make sure that she got that tradition. Sure.
Love it. That's so
good.
Great.
That's good. Amy, do you remember any special Christmas gifts that you got when you were a kid?
Oh, wow. I'm trying to think. I remember the year that I got a stereo. Like, that was a big deal. You know, they were huge at the time. It was like as tall as I was, and the speakers were as tall as I was. And I thought that was just a really cool gift. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of that stereo, that was one of my most memorable gifts too. On Christmas Eve, all of our family would go over to my mom's parents' house, my grandparents, and we would just hang out as a family on Christmas Eve. All the kids would reenact a Christmas story. We would perform for all the adults, all my aunts and uncles. And on my list that year, the big thing was a stereo and CDs.
Mm-hmm.
CDs were starting to become mainstream and getting rid of those cassette tapes. And I wanted a few CDs with a stereo, a CD player and a stereo. And I remember that night, I examined all the boxes at Christmas Eve, and there were no stereotype boxes, and I was so disappointed until I started opening the gifts. And I remember one of the gifts, my very first CD, came that night, and it was Jars of Clay. You guys remember that from the 90s? Jars of Clay. And I knew Even though I didn't have that CD player that night, the next morning I'd have a CD player sitting underneath the tree to match
that. That's so fun. Yeah, you're a little younger than me. I did not have a CD player. Mine had a record player and cassettes.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Ben, what were some of the gifts that were on that list that you wrote that floated up into the smoke for Santa?
Oh, yeah. We were big into Matchbox cars and Star Wars toys and all that kind of stuff growing up. But the one present I remember in particular, oftentimes for some reason disappointment sticks in your mind more than the things that are actually great. I wanted nothing more than a full-blown Dallas Cowboy football outfit. Shoulder pads, jersey, helmet. I mean, I wanted to be Tony Dorsett, right? And so I'd asked for that. And I guess my mom just, you know, kind of thought, well, yeah, well, you know, we get up to Dallas, you know, I'll go to the mall there and I'll get that for him. That'll be great. Well, she goes there a couple days before Christmas. Of course, they're completely sold out of all cowboy gear because every kid and their dog wanted that. And so she thought to herself, well, you know, I mean, NFL's the NFL. I'll just get him a different one. So sure enough, that morning, I kind of look at the packages and I see the one that looks like a helmet and it wrapped up and I'm all excited. Oh. I'm thinking, this is it. Tony Dorsett, I'm going to be him all week, you know, just wear it nonstop and never take it off, sleep in it. And I open it up and it is a Minnesota Vikings uniform, jersey, helmet. And they had the picture forever of me sitting there just bawling my eyes out. Aww. Holding a Minnesota Vikings helmet. So disappointed.
I wonder if we can get that picture.
I know, I'd love that.
Now, there's a different picture you could get from her of me sleeping under this dry sink in my underwear, asleep, waiting for Santa to come, if you want that one.
Oh, my goodness. So why do you think that these memories of when we were kids are so important to us? Why do you think we hold on to these Christmas memories?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think that, in some ways, the things that God bursts in your heart when you're a child, the seeds that are planted, which is why it can be so impactful to begin to hear about the gospel at a young age. Mm-hmm. In the way that Jesus talked about, you know, if you were to have faith like a child, like that's really what it takes to believe in me, mm-hmm. to believe that I love you like a loving father. And when you're a little kid, you don't question those things, mm-hmm. right? You really believe everything your parents tell you that it's true. And there's good things about that. And then because we live in a fallen, broken world, there can be some bad things about that. If your parents aren't telling you the truth and you figure that out later, it's really hurtful. But then over time, as a teenager, you begin to question. You see the chinks in the armor with your family and your parents. You know they're not perfect. You're like, wait a minute, they're not Jesus like I thought they were. And so you question things. And eventually, when you get older, a lot of times, you know, depending on your upbringing, you come back to that stuff because you realize, yeah, they weren't perfect, but man, I had it better than I thought I had it at the mm-hmm. time. But I think as a kid, there's just a fundamental thing in you before you hit puberty that you don't question really what your parents tell you. And that's what Jesus meant when he talked about the importance of believing God as a father that way, that kind of faith, mm-hmm. that he always tells you what's best for you. He always tells you the truth because he actually is the one who does never mm-hmm. lie and everything he says is true. And so I think those childhood memories, they plant deep, and those things that we do at Christmas or in those special moments, they plant deep because I think as children, we're a little more open to believing and to faith in ways that we become skeptical over time. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so why don't we take a moment right now and go to another Christmas story. Ben, would you mind reading another Christmas story? And this one actually comes from Luke chapter 2, and let's go back to the beginning where Christmas started.
Absolutely, yeah. In fact, this is something else that I didn't mention about our family traditions. Our parents would always read the story of Jesus' birth to us on mm-hmm. that Christmas Eve night, too, before we go to bed. So starting chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. The first registration took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, that you will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message that they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you, Ben. That's one of those things, growing up for me too, my dad would always read to us from Luke, the story of Jesus' birth, and I always loved that, and Marty does that now with our family. And so what are some other traditions that you have with your family now?
Yeah, so for Amy and I, we read the Christmas story as well. Of course, being a pastor as long as I have, we've always had Christmas Eve services. We've taken our kids through. That's been a tradition for them for a long time. But one of the things we started doing when they were little bitty, and so it's funny to go back and look at these, but we started hanging up a stocking next to their stockings for Jesus. Since it's his birthday, we kind of wanted to emphasize that with them, that it's his birthday, it's what we're celebrating. And that we want to give gifts to him on his birthday, not just receive gifts from others as a picture of the gift we have in him. And so we would sit down on Christmas Eve. That was one of the things we would do after the Christmas Eve services, come home and sit around the tree. And we would have them write on pieces of paper, little slips of paper, one thing they wanted to give to Jesus for this next year. So it could be... it could be, you know, fear. I remember one of my daughters was real fearful, and she wanted to give Jesus her fear and be braver and more bold. Or it could be time in the Word. Sometimes they would say, "I want to spend more time with Jesus this year and spend more time reading the Bible." It could be a relationship that maybe was hard, and they wanted to give that over to him and ask him to help them be more Christ-like in the midst of it. So it could be an action they did. It could be something emotional they were going through. But they would write that down and fold it up, and we would put the year on it on the outside so we knew what year they did it, and then they would stick it in the stocking. And in the morning when we woke up to open presents, we would always open Jesus's first. And so we would get out his stocking and open those up and read them to each other and then pray over that and ask God to help us actually do those things that year. So that's a little tradition that we've had to try and keep the focus of Christmas on Christ before we enjoy the picture of the gift of grace he has to us through our presence.
Yeah. I love that. We might be borrowing that one.
Yeah, that is very, very spiritual. Here's one of our Christmas traditions. Not so spiritual then. Sorry, I can't match that. But our family, on Christmas morning, we have monkey bread together. You guys know what monkey bread is? Just that cinnamon balls of goodness, gooey goodness. And we put some candles in there, and with our young kids now, we sing Happy Birthday to Jesus on Christmas morning before we jump into any presents or anything like that. But it was really exciting. This year, our kids have started talking about that monkey bread early, so those traditions are already on their mind, and they're thinking towards that and the excitement of Christmas morning, knowing that that monkey bread is coming, that we get to sing Happy Birthday to Jesus, and... that, of course, the presents are coming afterwards.
That's fun.
Amy, do you guys have any special Christmas traditions with your family that you guys do with your kids now?
Well, let's see. We kind of have some things that are just like... Our kids always have a sleepover together the night of Christmas. Like, they all sleep in the same room or in the playroom or something. And kind of like you said, Ben, about waiting behind that wall, my kids have always waited on the stairs. And they've always known they have to wait on the stairs till we tell them they can come out. And we don't do breakfast before, and I don't shower before, so I don't look good in the pictures.
We don't either. after my scarring as a child, believe me, we don't do that.
Yeah, we just, you know, as we're up, then we let them go open presents. And but what we do after that is, and we started this a few years ago, is I make a big, Marty and I together, we'll make a big breakfast, and we make all the kids' favorites. Anything we can think of for breakfast. We just make the biggest Christmas feast for breakfast, and we invite family to come over too for that. And the kids have gotten to where they really love the big breakfast. They always ask for the big breakfast.
Oh, wow. That's great. That's great. So it's interesting thinking about these Christmas traditions and the ones that we had when we were kids and the ones that we have now with our families, and just realizing that we're building those same Christmas traditions, same Christmas memories for our kids that we had when we were kids, and just realizing that this opportunity now to put Jesus in the heart of our kids that we have, just the opportunity to plant Jesus in their hearts, knowing why he came to this earth, why God sent him to this earth, and thinking through Philippians, why Jesus humbled himself, submitted himself to the Father, and came down to this earth to walk on this earth blameless before God and take our place as a sacrifice for our sins, to declare that we could be righteous before God. So this is just a really special time of year. And Fellowship, thank you for journeying with us through some of these Christmas stories. And we just want to say Merry Christmas, Jingle Bells, Happy New Year, and we'll see you in January.
That's right. Thanks for being with us. Merry Christmas.
Until next time, Fellowship, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
For As You Go, this is Fellowship Talk.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and you love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.
It's funny because this one, so now one of the things Amy's mom does when we go over to their house for Christmas is they have this big jar full of change. So they save it up all year.
Yeah.
And now, you know, Suzanne stuffs some extra dollar bills in there to make it even more. And so she reads What's the Night Before Christmas, and every time she says the word "and," you have to pass the jar. So it goes around the table. And so she, you know, and she throws in all kinds of extra ands, you know. So it's kind of this big joke because she's always like, and hope that St. Nicholas soon would be there. And then she like puts it like, and I in my, you know, nightcap and whatever. And it's like, there's not even an and there, but she keeps, the kids keep passing, they keep passing, they keep passing. And whoever, in the end, whoever it lands on gets to keep the jar. And I mean, it's that's like $100 for the change. Like it's like, or 50 or whatever. It's like a ton of So at first she kind of made it where she adjusted it where, you know, every kid, like each year,
a different
kid would get it. So the first 6 years, but now it's kind of like the floodgates are open. It's just, at this point, it's just random. And so it's always like, they're so mad when she keeps throwing ands in there when it's on them, and they get really bitter. But the funniest one, I laugh at thinking about the Jesus stocking. I'll tell you this because you know Anna, so you'll appreciate this. So Anna, this is our middle daughter, has this great imagination. And she, I mean, you talk about belief, like faith like a child. She still believed fairies changed the seasons when she was like 14. Like, or she kind of knew maybe it didn't happen, but she wanted it to. So she kind of thought maybe that's how God does it, is he uses fairies. God does it, but maybe he uses fairies. So she just has this great imagination. So she was given Jesus 1 year. I forget how old she was, like 6 or 7. She wrote like 4 or 5 different things to stick in their presents. And so we kind of started opening them up. And like one of them was like a gift, but the rest of them were just like birthday cards to Jesus. And one of them had Jesus on the cross, like blood dripping out of his hands. And it's like with his tongue sticking out. And a Santa hat on him that said "Happy Holidays." Jesus, like, it's just a weird mix of like happy birthday card, but he's on the cross dying, like his tongue sticking out. It was, Amy and I, we have that, we keep that one.
We're,
oh my gosh. I was like, what were you thinking? And I don't know. I just, every picture she'd see him, Jesus, was him on a cross, I guess. And she's like, that's just what you do. Oh man.